Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right. Whoa. Mr. Spadoni, it's Sunday. It's noon. Can I get a little bit more energy? Bring me Bruno.
Now look at you walking in here looking all pretty.
All right,
angry.
If you're in your car, if you're in your backyard, whatever you're doing, dance. Even if it's sitting, the people in the car next to you are going to laugh at you, and they'll be talking about you at dinner, and that's all that matters. Get it. Finish strong now. Show them in that car next to you. You're a better car dealer than they are. All right. Thank you, Mr. Spadoni. Joe's on the ones and twos. It's a double Joe. Double shot of Joe. Joe Sherry, Joe Spadoni. I am Michael Urban. We're going to be together until 4 o'clock. Yeoman's work was just done by J.D. Boots on the ground. Got a little four-hour solo shot starting at 8 in the morning. Apparently, Mr. Cozumore was in a little bit of a fender bender. I was just texting with him before the show. He's doing fine, a little bit sore, no worse for the wear. Nobody would care if he was. And I'd say that in the most loving way. And Coz knows that. In fact, Coz is probably listening right now. He just might call in. Are you going to call in? This is the question. 888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody, text line 95795. What are we going to talk about? Well, one of the first things I do when I step into this studio is take a look at that Chilton Autobody text line and see what's been popping. Looks like the Draymond Green contract extension has not slowed down. Obviously, you get 24 hours to digest the material that has been brought in, and that takes you in a number of different areas. So still plenty to explore, look forward to, break down about the Draymond Green contract extension, a very team-friendly contract extension. As crazy as that sounds, for giving a guy $100 million guaranteed, he's going to be with the team for 5 seasons minimum. Curry signed for the next 3 seasons. Klay just got a new deal. D'Angelo Russell just got a new deal. So stop me if this sounds familiar. The Warriors are going to have 4 All-Stars under contract for a couple of years, assuming they don't move anybody. And that certainly is a possibility. A lot of people think they're going to move D'Angelo Russell sooner rather than later. I don't think they're going to. I think that's going to fit well. If you would like to talk about Day-Day and his contract extension, what it means not only to the Warriors but to the rest of the NBA, that's really where I want to go with this story, is just fan out from Golden State. What does this mean for the rest of the NBA? In doing that, we'll take a look at the schedule. The Christmas Day schedule came out. Very interesting scheduling there. I love the scheduling there, actually. The Rockets and the Warriors, you kidding me, on Christmas? The two most hated non-Warriors in Warriorville? I don't know. Harden, Westbrook, and Chris Paul. How do you rank those three in terms of public enemy number one for Warriors fans? Would it be those three guys? Is that your top three?
Not 5, not 6, not 7.
Ooh, maybe LeBron. But look, everybody hates LeBron. We're going to get into some LeBron hate a little bit later. LeBron just wants you to pay attention to him. That's all. He just wants a little attention. And quite frankly, I don't think LeBron gets enough attention. I think he needs to post more workout videos on Twitter. I think he needs to actually play in an AAU game with his son rather than just storm the court after his son dunks. Or jumping in the layup line. Hey, LeBron, if you're going to jump in the layup line and put on a dunk contest of your own while overshadowing all the kids, by the way. May as well just suit up and play a game. It's not like anyone's going to be breaking laws or anything. Just do it, Bron. You need some attention. We need to give you some more attention. We got some LeBron sound that's hilarious. We'll pick that up in a little bit. We're going to be speaking with Eric Crocker. He's a former NFL cornerback, defensive back, and the host of the Press Coverage Podcast. He's been up in camp with the 49ers. He'll join us at 12:30. At 1:30, we got R.J. Anderson. He's a staff writer for CBS Sports, talking a little Major League Baseball. I didn't talk about this much last night, yesterday, but on Friday night, as I told you yesterday, I spent much of the week laid up, not being able to eat, was ill. Who cares? Everyone's got a sad story. Bottom line is, I turned it into a positive by really getting into baseball. First time I've, you know, felt like, all right, I'm finally hooked in. I know what's going on. I know who's who and what's what. And Friday night was a great time to be doing that. I happened to stumble along a Phillies game in which a starting pitcher was in the outfield, made a diving catch, threw a guy out at the plate. Actually, threw two guys out at the plate, but one of them had a sick slide, and he got away with it. And the guy on the mound at the time, not a pitcher. In fact, I think he became the first guy in Major League history, at least first guy in forever, to pitch multiple innings, steal multiple bases, and hit a home run in the same game. This was all in the Phillies. And my main takeaway from that is listening to the postgame, Gabe Kapler. Gabe Kapler's a bit of a nut. I covered him during his career. Great guy to talk to. Very, very outgoing. Very articulate. But he's got a different way of thinking. And he's done some odd things as a Phillies manager. I was kind of on the fence about him. But then I heard him talking after that win. I thought, you know what? I could play for this guy. Because the dude, he knows the market he's in. Philly doesn't want to hear about it. They lost that game, by the way, in 15, 16 innings. And he said, look, I know nobody wants to hear about that, about silver linings, but I'm going to talk about him anyway. And so he talked about his pitcher. He talked about his outfielder slash pitcher, pitcher slash outfielder. It was fun, man. That's what baseball's supposed to be about. I stopped and watched because I care about the Phillies? No. Because I saw a dude on the mound who clearly wasn't a pitcher, but was pitching. And I saw a dude out in left field who is a pitcher, but he's playing outfield. He's a right-handed pitcher. 1 year in high school, because he had a bum pitching elbow, he played the whole year as a left-handed outfielder. The guy's ambidextrous. That is crazy, freakish athletic ability. So I'm a big Kapler fan. I'm a big fan on dogs and cats living together. Just mayhem, freaking mayhem. That's what I saw Friday night. We will get into Major League Baseball. We'll get into, of course, 49ers. We're going to be talking to Cam Inman. He is a reporter for the Bay Area News Group. Always happy to talk to Cam. He and I go way back. We worked at the Contra Costa Times together back in the day. And at 2:30, we are efforting, pretty sure we're going to get, he's already said he'd come on at 3:30 before I realized I gave him the wrong time. But at 2:30, Roger Lodge, who is a big-time sports talk radio guy down in Southern California, his station carries Angels games. He does pre and post. He also used to host Blind Date. If you're wondering why that name sounds so familiar, just a good dude, a funny dude, huge Laker fan. He can talk all things LA market. And because that is our rival up here, right? Come on. Don't give me the A's and Giants. Give me A's and Dodgers. I'm sorry. Give me Giants and Dodgers and give me A's and Angels. That's the rivalries. Those are the games that get me psyched. But Giants-A's, it's coming up. I'm excited about that for the first time. Again, the number is 888-957-9570. First topic I want to get into, and trust me, we are going to get into a little bit of everything today. We will go hard on the NBA at some point. Clippers, opening night at Chase Center, really NBA? I wonder if the Warriors are thinking, could you not have helped us out and maybe given us some T-Wolves on opening night? Instead, we get the Boardman. Boardman gets paid, and I have a feeling he's going to get paid that night. I think the Clippers might be favored in that game. I don't know. Does Chase Center give you any sort of an advantage? Okay, the big question, the first big question. We're going to have one big question for each sport, and we're also going to have one big question for all sports. Here's the first one. And Joe Sherry, our fine producer, he threw this out shortly after I saw him today. Now, Draymond Green, we knew, was next up. He was the guy that was going to get the next deal. They got Klay done. Who's next? Draymond. Okay, get Draymond done. Get Draymond done. Who's next? All right, well, all the big dogs with the Warriors, they're already signed. Who's the next Bay Area athlete to get a big contract extension? Any sport. The next Bay Area athlete to get a big contract extension. Here's what I'll tell you. Giants, I'm going to go with Bumgarner. I say they figure out a way to keep Bumgarner. They just saved $18 million on getting rid of Mark Melanson. Nice job, Farhan Zaidi. Tell you what, that guy did a hell of a job. Well, I think Mad Bum just might stay, and so he would be the answer for the Giant if I had to pick one. Sign him back up, extend him. He's probably the top candidate for me there. How about the other side of the Bay? Let's see. How great would it be if you were an A's fan and you woke up to the news that Matt Chapman and Matt Olson just signed twin contract extensions that take them through their arbitration years?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Hey, it could happen. John Fisher could wake up, bump his head, and say, I want to spend a bunch of money on my A's today. That could happen. Or not. 49ers, Jimmy G's been signed long-term. Is Dante Pettis going to be a number one receiver? Is he a guy that you're going to want to extend down the road? I don't know. You tell me. I think the Raiders should give John Gruden a contract extension. He's just been fantastic. Give him more money. So who in the Bay Area? Who's the next big contract extension? Sticking with the Niners, why is everyone picking them to win 9 or 10 games? What did I miss last year? Did I miss a season? Because the last season I watched was terrible. And all the key players were dinged up. I know that. I know they made some nice additions. They at least addressed what we knew were their weaknesses. But how do you go from a 4-win team to a 10-win team? Just because your quarterback got healthy? All right. I don't get it. I don't. What is the team proven? Really? 888-957-9570. Niners fans. Are you as optimistic as the scribes out there seem to be, as the analysts, as the so-called experts? The 49ers, 10 wins? Oh, for some reason, I feel better about the Raiders. Out! Was that out loud? Yes, it was. 95-7 the game.
Now back to 95-7 the game.
All right, people are starting to catch on. You certainly are on the Chilton Autobody text line. Welcome back. I'm Michael Urban. It's 12:16 and 49 seconds. That's the Jim Cosmore time reference that everybody must have at least once an hour, even when Jim Cosmore is not here. Get well soon, Jim. Using a little fender bender yesterday. No fault of his own. And as is often the case, the person at fault is kind of a dirtbag based on the information that I have received, and that's as far as I can go with that. But the 510 says it's Bruno Mars time. Good afternoon to the 95.7 crew. Good afternoon to you as well. We'll be together until 4 o'clock in about 12 minutes. We're going to be speaking with former NFL defensive back. There, I figured it out. My whole life, I've worried that when I say cornerback, people think I'm saying quarterback. So how about just defensive back? There's no confusion there, right? Eric Crocker is going to join us in mere moments. And among the topics I need to get into with him, first of all, I'm going to ask him his prediction on wins. Assuming that it's in line with everybody else I've talked to about the 49ers that covers them, 9 to 10 wins will probably be the answer. That's what I've heard more often than not. Guys back there, thumbs up. You've heard 9 and 10 wins for the Niners, more than sub-500, right? Okay, so help me out, Niner fans. What did I miss? I'm not trying to be a smartass. What did I miss? Because I did watch all of last year, and I understand Jimmy G got hurt, and pun intended, as JD mentioned, they punted on last season as soon as Jimmy G got hurt. They were hurt a lot in a lot of different areas. Jerick McKinnon, the big running back that we were all like, what? What? You're throwing how much money at who? Who's that? Okay. You do some digging. You find out that Kyle Shanahan really, really, really wanted the guy. And who are we to doubt Kyle Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan has shown me enough for me to have faith in him. Sure, he's 10-22 over two seasons. Yeah, that's right, 10-22. Sure, he didn't have his quarterback last year, fine. But how can you expect this big of a turnaround? Look at the division. Rams coming off an NFC title and a Super Bowl appearance, probably motivated, not probably, absolutely motivated by laying an egg in the Super Bowl. Seattle, still a very good team and a great home team. Arizona could be a team that could cause trouble for the 49ers. We just don't know who that Cardinal team is yet. Didn't the Cardinals beat the Niners twice last year? And now all of a sudden the Niners were division co-favorites at worst? What did I miss? Does the offense have enough to lead this team to 10-win season? 12-win season? 12 wins for the Niners? I wonder what the high watermark is. I wonder if we scoured like NFL predictions. See what the high watermark is for predictions. Now, I don't know how we would filter that because everybody with a blog would show up on your search. So it could just be, you know, Hank and Hercules, who's a lifelong fan and never played the game, and he's, I don't know, 47, divorced, living in his parents' basement. He thinks the Niners are going to win 14. Why? I don't know, but why are you showing up? Get a job, dude. Get out of here. But hey, if you can call and tell me why you think it's a 14-win team, I truly, truly do not understand. What's up, Herbs? ERBS. It's from Potsy and Pita. Here we go. Suzette in Oakland. God bless you, Suzette. She's in the 5'10", I believe. I think she's the one that said, it's Bruno Mars time. And right after that, you know what I do when we're playing Perm to open the show, right? By the way, when I do Perm, it's basically an homage to my youngest daughter, Natalie, my baby girl. She is 14. She is 6'1", and she is a really good and really dedicated swimmer. She was at the Western Zone Championships in Clovis this weekend. Did very well. It started on a Wednesday. It wrapped up yesterday or today. She's a dedicated 14-year-old. She was 10 years old and she gave up sugar. How many kids do that at 10 years old to give up sugar to reshape her body? And she did. So that's why I start that way. And I encourage everybody, dance in your car, chair gig, car gig, do whatever. It doesn't matter. The people that see you on the road, sure, they're going to laugh at you. But are you embarrassed? No, because you don't know them. You're never going to see them. You're not going to run into them at a cocktail party. And they're going to go, hey, I saw you dancing in your car on the Bay Bridge on a Sunday. No, that's not going to happen. But you are going to be a topic of conversation at that family's dinner table. And really, if you can be the topic of conversation in a positive way at all at anybody's dinner table, that's a pretty good day. They're going to be talking about the knucklehead that was dancing, but they're all going to be smiling and all going to be laughing and probably imitating you. So in the 805, it says, LOL, the car next to me took pictures of me getting down to that song. Give us a call, the 805, that says, the car next to me took pictures of me getting down to that song. That listener actually listened. They danced in their car. They got people to take pictures of them. I'm down with that. Let's go to Brian in Los Altos. He is our first caller of the day. If you'd like to follow him, lines are wide open at 888-957-9570. Brian is in Los Altos, and he wants to explain to me why the Niners will be 9-7. What's going on, Brian? How are you?
How are you, Michael? It's a great, beautiful Sunday again in the Bay Area.
Isn't it? I'm glad that you're enjoying it. Now, where are you right now? Are you in Los Altos or you're from Los Altos?
I'm in Los Altos. I'm from and I'm in here. I'm just actually waiting to go into Trader Joe's, but I had to. I heard, you know, I always listen to your show, and I just had to comment on why I think it's sort of a bad analogy, or I think we can make false conclusions if we compare to last year or even the year before the Niners and what they're going to do this year. And I have a bunch of reasons, but I'll pick three, if that's okay.
Give me your three most compelling. Hey, if they're great, give me 10. As long as you're great on the air, we're going to be chatting.
Okay, so I would say number one is I think a vastly improved defense. I think although I wish they would have done more in the defensive backfield, for some reason they feel that they've got the tools back there. And maybe it's because they have vastly improved their sack potential. When I think of Dee Ford and Bosa on the ends, that is just going to completely change the game for them. And I think it's going to make their defensive backfield better. I think combine that with their upgrade at linebacker, I think Kwon, as he comes back, he's a tackling machine. He flies around. I think Fred Warner was solid last year. So I just think from a defensive perspective, they're significantly, and I've been a coach for many, many years, and I think defense wins championships. So I think that's my number one reason. I think number two, and again, I think this is partially because of the defense, but also on its own, I think the offense is going to be better. Not only Jimmy Garoppolo being back, I actually think we have a very solid backup now in Nick Mullins. So even if Garoppolo gets hurt and has to miss some playing time, you know, I don't mean the whole season, but, you know, God forbid. I think Mullins is...
Brian, let me stop you there real quick. I'm absolutely let you finish. You're bringing up some great stuff. Why Mullins? Why are you convinced that he is the backup? Because I know that Mullins, just the raw numbers, you look at him, and they're better than Beathard. But, I don't know, Beathard to me has seemed more consistent. Now, he's not consistently great, and neither is Mullins, but... I don't know. I think that's an open competition right now, and I think CJ might be leading it.
Yeah, I've heard that in reading sort of the notes from the camp that I read.
Right, me too.
And it does seem like he's leading it. I just think I think Mullins reminds me. I know that's going to be, you know, people are going to laugh at me a little, but he reminds me a little bit of Montana
You're comparing a 49er quarterback to Joe Montana right now.
Well, it's only because in this way, this is all I'm saying. He's not Joe, but what he is he's not got this rocket arm, and neither does Joe. I think he's very accurate.
He's not toolsy, is what you're saying.
He's not. I don't know if anybody ever.
He's not a combine hero. He's not going to blow anybody away with measurables.
Precisely, but what he does is it's just everything from the story of putting headphones on, listening to stadium noise, you know, to making quick decisions. His checkdowns last year, I think, are significantly better than Beathard. I think Beathard is tough as nails, but I think Mullins is tough as nails. So I think you're right. I think it is still a competition, and so maybe I shouldn't just hand it to him, but I think if I went on intangibles, I'd probably pick him.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I think when you think we've got Garoppolo back, we have a beast tight end, and I think we've actually added a great tight end competition. I actually think we've got some wideouts, finally. I think Debo is solid. I think Taylor and even Richie James in the slot. I think the guy from Washington who's got wiggle, you know, with the crazy hair coloring. He has, like, purple in you.
Dante Pettis?
From University. Yeah, Pettis.
Yep.
I think Pettis, if he stays healthy again. So I think the offense just across, and then I think, Tevin Coleman was a huge pickup. So when I look across the board, like he said in one of the early, he's got depth at every position to where if you do have an injury, I just think that the offense is going to be better in and of itself. And I think because of number one, better defense, it's going to be better because they're going to get probably shorter field position. I think they're going to get more takeaways. So I just think, and I read this one analysis that I thought was excellent, which was if you were the number one team in sacks or the number one team in defense or whatever, the only way you can go is down. And when you're the 30th or the 29th, which I think we were last in takeaways, you know, you're going to go up.
You can't fall from the floor.
Exactly. So I think every aspect of the game, they're going to get better. And I think those are the two. And I'd say the third reason is I really believe, like you said, in Shanahan. I think he's now going to have tools. I think Jalen Hurd reminds me a lot of Delano, what was his name? He was our tight end. He was a great tight end, but he reminds me of...
Kind of a hybrid.
I think he... Yeah, kind of a hybrid player. I think you...
Delaney Walker is the name you're looking for.
Delano Walker, yeah. Delaney Walker, exactly. I love that guy. I thought he was a solid player. Maybe Jalen Hurd can be in that sort of ilk. I think you got depth in running back, and I think more than importantly, they've got a couple years in Shanahan's system. So I just think Shanahan is a damn good coach, and I do think that if we don't step up on the defensive side this year, I don't think Saleh's going to make it. I think he's the guy that they'll have to trade out because we have made more draft picks on the defensive side. He's got significant tools over there. This is his year. He's got to make a difference. So I think he's sort of playing for his contract.
Brian, good stuff, man. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he is a little bit on the hot seat, and a lot of people have said that they think Shanahan is on the hot seat this year. I disagree. I mean, look, John Lynch, we don't know if he's cut out for this job. We know that Kyle Shanahan is. 408 says last year, the lack of defense cost them 3 games. Quarterback stays healthy. That's 2 more wins. That's 9. Okay, so you're adding the 5 to the 4 that they won. That is, you need to throw out some qualifier. Like, at the risk of insanely oversimplifying things, last year the lack of defense cost 3 games. If the quarterback stays healthy, you get 2 more, and that's 9 wins. Okay, I'm not necessarily buying it, but hey, feel free to enhance your argument by giving us a call at 888-957-9570. We now turn to our first guest of the afternoon. He is a former defensive back in the NFL, and he is the host of the press coverage podcast. He appears courtesy the dial pad guest line. His name is Eric Crocker. Eric, thank you for joining us again, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Last time we spoke, I really enjoyed the conversation. That's why I wanted to bring you back now that we've had a little bit more movement in camp. The first question I asked the audience, or at least the Niners fans in my audience, Eric, is why am I hearing from virtually every analyst, everybody who's paid to follow the league and give predictions at this type of the year, which we know is kind of silly, but we all do it anyway. I'm hearing a lot of 9 and 10 and 11 wins for the 49ers. What did I miss, Eric?
I guess they're just a little healthier now. And well, you know, everybody's kind of healthy right now. But I think people, you know, they see Jimmy Garoppolo. They see some of these young guys developing, like Kittle. They're hoping that, you know, guys like Pettis can take the next step. Tons of weapons at running back with Breida, Coleman. We'll see what McKinnon is when he gets back. But if you look at that defense and that front 7, even though I was at a training camp, I mean, they're flying around. They're playing fast. You know, they're bringing the energy. So, you know, if that translates to wins, I think that's why a lot of people kind of, you know, like the 49ers a little bit as kind of a sleeper team.
The voice you hear is that of Eric Crocker. He's a former defensive back in the NFL and the host of Press Coverage Podcast. If you want to follow him on Twitter, and I suggest you do, that would be at Eric_Crocker. Again, on Twitter, at Eric with a C underscore Crocker. Okay, so I'm looking at the division, Eric. And actually, you know what? First off, let me give you a blank canvas. I know that you've been at camp. Give me a couple of storylines that have kind of jumped out at you that aren't storylines that we've all heard a million things about. What was your biggest takeaway from this first past week of camp?
I think just some of the younger guys, especially on the receiver core, taking that next step. You know, I think a lot of people have talked about Trent Taylor. They've talked about, hey, you know, what does Deebo Samuel look like? But I think the guys that people aren't really talking about, and I thought they kind of jumped out to me and looked pretty good, T. James and Kendrick Bourne. You know, those are two guys that, you know, Kendrick Bourne's going into his third year, and, you know, people talk about developing. He's been developing year by year, you know, led the 49ers in receiving yards and, you know, catches last year, not a ton of, you know, catches or yards, but so he's progressing each year, and I saw, you know, from training camp, it looks like he's continuing that. He's kind of trending upwards still, and nobody's really talking about it. A lot of people are writing him off, having him on the bubble, but I think he's doing exactly what he needs to do to kind of, you know, make his team. And Richie James, he's stretching the field. He's running really good routes underneath. I thought he was really good with contested catches in team and 7-on-7. And, yeah, I mean, I think if Richie James' name was Dante Pettis, I think you would hear a lot more about what he's doing.
Interesting. We're talking with Eric Crocker. He's a former defensive back in the NFL, and he's the host of the Press Coverage podcast. He's been at 49ers camp. Eric, I'm going to make you put on your former job. I want you to put on your defensive back in the NFL hat, okay? And you are scouting the Niners, who you face in week one. And you and your prime are going to have to deal with the Niners receivers, specifically in the red zone. Who is the guy that you've seen out there? We all know they had struggles in the red zone, that Eric Crocker looks at and says, that dude's going to be a load in the red zone. That's going to be a tough cover.
I'd say, two guys, or three, really. One is Dante Pettis, just because he's so quick. And, in close areas like that where there's not a lot of space, any amount of just, quickness and space off the line of scrimmage, and the quarterback can kind of fit that ball in there, that's kind of tough. So he's the one guy. The other guy is Kendrick Bourne, just because he's probably been the 49ers' like best contested catch guy in the red zone. He had four red zone touchdowns last season. He's catching, balls with guys draped all over him. He seemed to do that and kind of find open areas. So he's one guy I kind of look to stop. And then the other guy would be Deebo Samuel, who hasn't shown it on the 49ers. But just because his ability kind of be a little bit multidimensional with his quick releases, but also he doesn't need much separation. He can catch the ball with his defensive back on his back. So, those are three guys who I'm probably a little bit more keen on. I know most people might say like George Kittle, but, to me, he kind of struggled a little bit with contested catches. We'll see if he improves on that. But, yeah, those other three receivers, I kind of be watching to see where they are in the red zone.
And just based on what he did last year, we know that Kittle is going to get quite a bit more attention. He's not going to be able to sneak up on anybody anymore. That's for dang sure. We're talking with Eric Crocker, former defensive back in the NFL. He also is the host of the Press Coverage podcast, and you can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. Should there be any cause of concern for Dee Ford and the lingering injury issues that have sidelined him here recently?
No, it sounds like it's something that he's dealt with each year. And, at this stage of his career, there's a lot of injuries I think that some of these guys have that probably won't go away. It's just managing it and knowing how to play with it and get through game day. So as long as he can, get through game day and do whatever he has to do to make sure he's healthy, for those 60 minutes, I think he'll be fine. And just his skill set that he has, it doesn't seem like it's something that has affected him. So I would say I heard about him having like some type of back injury. I would be more worried about that than what's going on a little bit with his knees that he dealt with and had 13 sacks last year.
Eric Crocker, former NFL defensive back, appears courtesy of the Dialpad guest line. Eric, if they gave an award for most improved over the offseason, who's winning that in your mind?
Oh, it would have to be Trent Taylor because, he had a rookie year where it's like, okay, there's something with this kid. And then last year, you just see him kind of just go all the way backwards. But, he had that back injury. And it just seemed like he wasn't his normal self. He wasn't that quick, twitchy guy, creating space, that third down machine that he was his rookie year. And then you look his offseason, and he looks dynamic again. He looks quick. He's beating guys out of the slot. I'm seeing he's finally beating guys downfield. I didn't even know he had that in the game. So I would say Trent Taylor, man, he's been a pleasure to see. And if he can continue that going into, preseason and a regular season, that would be a huge win for the 49ers.
Eric, is this a chicken or the egg thing? The question that my producer put on my sheet is how dominant can this new pass rush and defensive line be for the 49ers? But look, are you going to get a bunch of coverage sacks? I don't know. The defensive backfield for the 49ers is the big mystery to me. Richard Sherman says he's 100% healthy. I mean, a compromised Richard Sherman, in my opinion, was the best defensive back on the team last year, which is frightening for last year's team. For this year's team, the Niners came out and said, look, we feel better about our defensive backfield than obviously the fans do. I'm not sure why. They didn't really elaborate as to why, but might you have an answer to that?
I'll say this. I listened to a lot of John Middlecoff, and one thing that he's saying is, teams now need to focus on building from the front end because it's so difficult to cover. Even when you have good coverage, as we've seen last year, with even guys like Kelly Witherspoon, who I thought was, you know, up and down, but there were times where he had blanket coverage and they still called a penalty on him. And, you know, so with those type of rules and things like that, I wouldn't even really so much focus on the secondary. I would focus just more on the pass rush, just force a couple turnovers. And that was something that we could not do last season. So if, you know, yeah, you know, maybe some guys get beat here and there, but when it comes down to it, D Ford, like he did against the Colts, can get a strip fumble, and, you know, 49ers recover it. I think more than anything, that would help the 49ers get wins. So with how they bolstered up the front end, and they just got guys who know how to make plays, and I think the secondary will benefit from that, but ultimately the team, I think those type of things will kind of result in wins. The secondary, man, it is tough now. It's really hard to cover in today's game. It's so wide open. They just make it so easy for offense. So, yeah, that front seven, I think, is going to help the secondary. I don't know how well the secondary will play. They look decent right now. They look good. But, yeah, we'll see once the game starts. But just force turnovers, and I think that's what they brought guys like D Ford in to do.
Pretty much everybody looks good on August 3rd, 4th, 5th, right?
Yeah. Not last year.
Not last year. Oh, I like that. Hey, Eric Crocker, he is the host of Press Coverage Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. Eric, let's stay with the defense. Let's stay with the defensive backfield. Do you see Jason Verrett taking over the starting job opposite Sherman this year?
Man, you know, if he is going to, Kelly Witherspoon has not made an easy decision. He's been playing extremely well. I'd say he was one of the bright spots while I was out there.
Is that the best position battle of camp going on right now?
I'd say the fifth and sixth spot for receivers. I think that's the best.
Okay.
I mean, it's so up in the air. We have no idea how that's going to kind of play out. With cornerback, it looks like, okay, Okello Witherspoon, he's playing very well. And at the end of the day, if he ends up starting, now we have depth at cornerback, something that the 49ers have not had. So instead of, you know, in a Packer game where, you know, somebody goes down with an injury and you have Greg Maben coming in, now you have, you know, Akello or Jason Verrett coming in, and I think that's something the 49ers can live with.
All right, one last question for our friend Eric Crocker, who, again, he is the host of the Press Coverage Podcast, a former NFL defensive back. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. Okay, we started the segment with asking you why everyone's talking about 9, 10 wins, 11 wins. What are you talking about, Eric? What's your prediction? What's your win total for these Niners?
Man, you know, I think nine games. That's kind of where I've set the mark. I know the Vegas has set the over-under at 8 games. So I take the over at 9. I'm still skeptical. I don't say those 9 wins with confidence. But I do think if they can kind of get off on the right track, there's some winnable games early on. If they can get on the right track and the team can gain some confidence, I think this team can make a run at, you know, maybe possibly a wild card position. So I'd say 9 wins, especially if they get off to a good start.
Go ahead and bet the house on it, Eric. You got that NFL pension to fall back on if it doesn't plan.
I wish,
yeah. Hey, thank you for the time, man. I really appreciate it. I enjoy talking ball with you.
All right, anytime.
All right, that's Eric Crocker, former defensive back in the NFL, host of the Press Coverage Podcast. See, there's another guy. 9 wins. Somebody on the Chilton Autobody text line says, will you ever apologize for making fun of me when I told you the Giants were on fire? I doubt if I made fun of you for saying they were on fire while they were on fire. I don't know why I would make fun of you. It had to be a little bit different than that. I think maybe you might be oversimplifying. Who knows? Give us a call. 888-957-9570. Everyone's saying 9, 10, 11 wins for the 49ers. What are they saying about the Raiders? You know what they're saying about the Raiders? When does Hard Knocks start on 95.7 The Game?
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
So glad you're along for the ride. It's 12:48 and 18 seconds. That's the Jim Cosmore check of the clock of the hour. I'm Michael Urban. We'll be together until 4 o'clock today. 888-957-9570. I would very much like to have you guys serve as my co-host today. Second day in a row, 4 hours, flying solo. Love the freedom, the autonomy that comes with that. Well, it's not really autonomy because I do have the twin Joes in the production booth. They're not going to let me get too squirrely, but look, we got some freedom on this show. We can bounce around. We can talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. We started with why the hell is everybody predicting the Niners are going to win 9-10 games? I don't get it. I'm a fan of steady incremental growth. So for me, the Niner fan in me looks at this year as 8 wins. 8 wins is a good year in the third year of a rebuild. Next year is playoffs or bust. Fourth year of a rebuild, look, they gave him 6 years. Jed York clearly, thankfully, saw what a mess his team was and said it's going to take a while to dig out from under this, so I'm going to give Shanahan and Lynch 6-year deals.
Organized chaos.
Organized chaos. Okay. That didn't even seem like that last year. But a lot of people say that Kyle Shanahan is on the hot seat. I don't get that either. Look, he lost his quarterback and his top running back. The running back never played it down. And clearly, Shanahan sees something in Jerick McKinnon that not a ton of people see. Because we all kind of raised our eyebrow like, really? You're giving that dude that kind of money? But, hey, as it goes to offensive evaluation, I'm a Kyle Shanahan guy. I'm going to buy that. Mac Maul intro. Somebody called it. Attaboy Spadoni. Very nicely done. That was from the 408. If you want to hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 957-95. 615 says, put Jalen Hurd at running back. He was a monster at UT Knoxville. 408. When did Joe Montana become the Greg Maddux of NFL quarterbacks? I don't know what that question means, actually. But I don't know. I think if I'm Joe Montana or Greg Maddux, I'm pretty happy with that comparison. Greg Maddux, the Joe Montana of Major League Baseball? Yeah, I'll buy that. Montana, the Maddux of quarterbacks? Yeah, I'll buy that. Does that mean like not a lot of toolsy stuff? Stuff that just doesn't jump off of film? You know what jumps off of anything? W's. W's. Joe Montana got a lot of W's. So did Greg Maddux. I don't get it. 408, did the Niners have more injuries than any other team last year? I can't answer that with any certainty. I don't know. Get to the point of your text. There's obviously a reason you asked. Did the Niners have more injuries than any other team last year? Are you asking because you're a fan and you would like to defend your insane prediction of 13 wins by saying we had more injuries than any other team last year? Or I'm guessing there's an equal chance that you are anti-Niners and you're mocking Niners fans for complaining about all the injuries they had last year. It's certainly possible. And again, will you ever apologize for making fun of me when I told you the Giants were on fire? Okay, I'll do it now. I'm sorry. You were right. 408, 6-10 for the Niners. I'm going 8 wins. I can't go higher than that. I just can't. They won 4. You telling me that they'll double their win total from last year? Yeah, we can do that. I don't see why they wouldn't. As long as they stay healthy. Let's go to Tony in San Francisco. Tony, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, man? Tony, are you there? Tony in San Francisco going once, going twice. He's not there. The subject of his call was going to be Garoppolo will succeed. Now, in what context? Don't know what that means. Will he succeed in getting a date with the next oldest and more fake-looking porn star out on the
porn street? Star Jimmy!
Is that Stephen A? Porn star Jimmy. Wow, I like that. We might hear that a little bit more of that. That's almost as good as Kevin DeGrant. Or I'm Kevin Durant. You know.
His name is Kevin DeGrant.
That's right. No, his name's Kevin Durant. He told them, right? I'm Kevin Durant. You know,
I know who I am.
His name is Kevin DeGrant.
I have not read a text yet ripping Kevin Durant. That's a surprise. We're almost an hour into the show. Man, how quickly we will turn on our heroes if we suspect they have turned on us. KD didn't turn on us, guys. He didn't. He's a weird dude. You're not pleased with the way he went out. Neither is Draymond, by the way. But really, let's live a healthy life today and let's save our energy for positive efforts. All that vitriol that you want to direct on the Chilton Auto Body text line, all that hatred, all that frustration, all that meanness, you want to channel? No, 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 no. We're going to turn sports talk radio into a positive medium for the first time. This is a negative medium. If you've ever done or listened to, and I'm sure you all have, any baseball team's pre- and post-game show, listen to the post-game show after a win, listen to it after a loss. You will find that the host has no problem getting calls and running a show after a loss because everybody wants to talk about a loss and what was wrong and how they would have fixed it because they know everything. After a win, people are happy. They don't know what to do with themselves. Why am I going to call Sports Talk Radio? I'm happy. I call Sports Talk Radio when I'm bummed, when I'm bitter. 888-957-9570. And again, Chilton Auto Body Text Line, 95795. Did you happen to catch any of the NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremony yesterday? Look, if Tony Gonzalez wants to speak for 39 minutes and 5 seconds, which he did during his acceptance speech in Canton, Ohio, who cares? I mean, I've seen people going after this guy, like, get over yourself, dude. 40 minutes, you're talking about yourself for 40 minutes? No. Whoever thinks the way those people think clearly never played sports. Not anything past, like, the youth league. Because making it into any Hall of Fame, whether it's your high school, your college, your professional team, whatever, if you're being inducted into a Hall of Fame, that's pretty special. And if you're a football player and you're a first ballot Hall of Famer going into Canton, Ohio, hell, talk for 2 hours if you want. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I got no problem with the Gonzalez. Look, the guy played 17 years in his career. He retired with the most receptions, the most receiving yards, and the most 100-yard receiving games among all tight ends. And he broke the record for the longest Hall of Fame speech in history. 39 minutes, 5 seconds. You got a problem with that? No. 510 Herbs, stop philosophizing about us fans and start talking about sports betting. Wrong show, my friend. Hey, you want to call and talk about sports betting? We can have a conversation about that, no doubt. But I am not a gambler. I'm not. I'm fascinated by it. It's not going away. So I'm educated about it. I can speak on it. Just not a fan of it. Never have been. Not a gambler. Not a card player. None of that. Fantasy football, I did it 1 year. One of my brothers was the commissioner. I got screwed out of the title on the last day, and it just bitter experience. So I haven't done it again. I might go back. It is a good way. I'll give fantasy football this. If you want to become a more knowledgeable NFL fan, just join one fantasy football team because you're going to have to learn the league. And you're going to have to pay attention to the whole league every single week. That was the silver lining of my bitter fantasy football, my first experience. Because I knew all the players. I knew all the teams. I could talk with a fan of any team about their team. At least, you know, if one of their team's players was on my fantasy team, we can have a conversation. I just don't play it. It's awfully time-consuming, at least my experience has been. I'd love to know what people were drawn to about fantasy football in the first place. There's some people who do it just for money, speaking of the betting and the gambling. Just for money. There's a ton of those knockout pools that you can find left and right, pick every week. But some people do it just for the money. Some people do it because, as I just said, you have to pay attention to the league. And if you want to be a better, in air quotes, football fan, join a fantasy football team. You'll become a better fan. Now, why you are thinking down on yourself as a fan in the first place, we need to talk about that too. 888-957-9570. 650 says, how could anyone be mad on how KD left? Sounds like people are breaking up from a girlfriend or boyfriend. Point being, do we really want this drama anymore? And another question, who has it better? KD coming off an injury, not knowing what's going to happen to his career and going to a place where you have to build from the ground up, or a team that already has 4 All-Stars signed and ready to go for next year? Calm down, people. KD did us a favor. KD did us a favor? Oh, that's voice to text. She meant K, period, D period. It showed up as K-A-T-I-E, Katie. Katie did us a favor. Thank you, Katie. You're such a wonderful woman. I appreciate everything that you do for us.
His name is Kevin DeGrant.
Very nicely done. I knew you were doing that. We're in lockstep. Niners, 9-10 wins. I'm just not seeing it, guys. I'm just not. And I still haven't heard anybody. No, I didn't quit fantasy football because I came in second place. I quit fantasy football because I came in first place and wasn't given first place money. I won that damn league. I might not have the trophy. I might not have gotten the money, but in my little peanut head, I won that league. Thank you, though, from the 858. Where's the 858? Tittle would say that that was, I don't know, Saturn? Something like that. KD, okay, so there we go. We got the first KD negativity. This is a KD-free zone. From here on out, rest of the way, today, no more KD talk. Because after all, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM, and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station, and we are the radio home of Warriors basketball. So why would we be talking about Kevin Durant? He's not a Warrior anymore. D'Angelo Russell is a Warrior. Steph Curry is a Warrior. Draymond Green is a Warrior. Klay Thompson is a Warrior. That's four All-Stars. And all four of them are signed for multiple years. Yeah, Klay's not going to be back until second half of the season. But he's going to be back, and he said in an interview this week, do we have that sound of Klay talking about people are nuts for ruling the Warriors out? I'd like to play that again. We played it yesterday. God bless Klay. I like him. Scott Osler, friend of the program, father of one of our fine young producers here. He had a great, great line in his, we got the clip from Klay Thompson. Let's hear that first.
I think that's a little premature to say there's no more dynasty. I mean, we still have Stephen Curry, a two-time MVP, Draymond Green, Defensive Player of the Year. Adding D'Angelo Russell was an incredible get for us. I mean, the kid's going to blossom into a superstar in this league. And to say the dynasty is over, I think, is a little ignorant because I think I'm going to come back 110%. I think I'm going to come back even better and more athletic. And I would just not, it would not be smart to count the dubs out. That's all I'll tell people.
Like I said yesterday, you could tell that all of a sudden the internal editor of Klay Thompson realized, oh my God, I'm talking about myself for more than 2 seconds. Abort, abort, abort.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.